Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's hypnotism? How does it work? And what can it be used for? In the first part of a two-part program on hypnotism, let's go in-depth with Kim Malloy and her son, Scott Malloy, from Knoxville. So whose idea was it to learn hypnotism?
Actually, my two sisters. They have been hypnotists for probably 5 or 6 years. They've done several different programs. They were out in California for a while. They followed around a couple hypnotists that are very well known, and to learn from them. They actually have done some stage shows. And I've seen what they've done to help my daughter, who has some anxiety issues or maybe, you know, problems with getting enough sleep or her migraines, and they've managed to help her. And they were very insistent that maybe I would like to go do this, because they could see the way that we could apply that, or I could apply that to help out other people. And Scott was just very excited. They just thought he would make a great stage hypnotist, so they've been wanting him to do it for a while.
Well, and you're a nurse, and right. So you're thinking maybe it would help in those kinds of situations as well?
Definitely. There is a whole body of research out there about clinical hypnosis and how it helps. If you actually go to New Zealand and Australia, which guest speakers I listened to over the weekend at the conference, hypnosis is actually a standard treatment or procedure that people or avenue that they explore to help with different types of illnesses, especially mind-body sort of connection things, anxiety, depression. They can actually help with pain. The biggest ones are like irritable bowel syndrome and anxiety. They've shown great success. So it's interesting that down there it is a very much a mainstream accepted form of treatment for a lot of disorders.
But you had a different idea that you wanted to learn it for a different purpose.
Yeah, so one of the things I really like about hypnosis is just how open it is. So I didn't go down there to learn with the intent, I'm going to do X with it. I figured I would go see what it's all about. And then, you know, in college for the next 4 years, you know, I have so many avenues with which to use it, whether it's for entertainment purposes or other people's test anxiety or insomnia or, you know, whatever opportunity I have to use it for.
You're just going to have the knowledge, and then you're going to see sort of how it plays out for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's sort of fun.
It definitely is. And I've had a lot of fun just using it since I've got back. A lot of people have let me practice on them.
Your friends?
Yeah. I've had, I think, 14-ish people who've let me hypnotize them so far.
And how has it worked out?
It's worked out, yeah, really pretty well. They always say, you know, high schoolers are easy, because they're so open-minded about things. And I've had a lot of success with my peers so far.
But nothing embarrassing for
them? No. So thing about hypnosis is I can't make them do anything they're not willing to do. And even so, you know, I wouldn't want to. These are people I go to school with, and if I do something to them, you know, I gotta live with them for the next couple weeks.
I mean, that's sort of what you get with hypnosis is, you know, people are, you know, they're sort of intrigued, but they're a little worried they'll do something embarrassing or say something embarrassing. But that doesn't happen, or maybe only on bad movies?
Only in bad movies. Movies actually give hypnosis a bad name. You always have your conscious self that is there playing gatekeeper. It's not going to allow you to get hurt or do something that you wouldn't normally do. The thing that you can do. I know for a fact that when I'm hypnotized, I didn't realize I was hypnotized until I went to the class, and it's because I have this conscious part of my brain that does a constant monologue. But my subconscious will take over when I'm in hypnosis, and I will follow directions. Like, for example, one of the tests that you do to see if somebody's under in hypnosis is you have them count from 1 to 10, and every time they count to 10, they will skip over the number 6. So they will count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, and 10. My brain kept saying, oh, the 6 is there, and I could see it flashing in my brain. But when it came time to say 6, all I could get out, I tried so hard. I couldn't even say 7 because it started with the S sound. I had to skip to 8. So I'm like, oh, yes, I'm hypnotized. I just don't go as deep as some people do. You know, the ones that actually don't even remember that they've been under. But that subconscious brain thinks in very solid terms, but you still have your conscious brain that plays gatekeeper and protects you. So you're not going to do anything that you wouldn't normally do. And like I said, my brain is constantly running a monologue in my head. I know what I'm doing.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about hypnotism with Kim and Scott Malloy.
So how does it work? I mean, what's the biological processes that come to play?
In clinical practice, what they do is they actually do progressive relaxation. And you start by relaxing, like say, the muscles of your face, and you work through the body and you get the body to relax. And then you're talking to the brain, and because you're talking in a constant flow of words and you're putting out positive suggestions. And that's the thing with hypnosis, is as you start talking positive, then the subconscious is listening to the positive. And then you can kind of put in, you know, the suggestions that, you know, your eyes are getting very sleepy. You're becoming very sleepy. Your eyes are going closed. You will not be able to open them. You don't really want to open them. You would like to keep them closed because it's, and you kind of put that out there. And you'll get to the point where they don't want to open their eyes. It's very restful. And anytime you put them under, you always give them the positive reinforcement that when they wake up, they're going to feel very rested. They're going to feel wonderful and they're going to be happy. So most people, when they come up out of hypnosis, they actually feel better because the subconscious has taken the suggestion that they feel better and they're happier. And when they come out, they feel rested. And usually it's a good experience for them.
So when you do it with your friends, Scott, is it to a particular end? I mean, are you trying to help them with, you know, let's say they can't sleep or grades or they want to get better at their instrument or something? Do you help them with that, or is it just sort of see where it goes?
So that's the end that I'm trying to get to. So far, I've had enough buzz about people just being like, yeah, you can try it on me, that right now they're more interested in just being hypnotized than what it can do for them. I always try to give them positive suggestions when they like come up. So a popular one is it's like you feel like you've just had a 2 or 3 hour nap. So it can do a lot for like nap replacement with them. I've not had anyone come to me for more serious issues yet. So far it's just been practice, but I'm looking to break into how can I help them with this.
So how do I know that I might need help? What conditions should I be thinking, oh, do I have this and maybe you can help me with it? Or is it, I guess I don't know when I would come to you to say, hey, would you help me with hypnotism? I guess maybe if I smoked, I would do that.
Smoking and weight loss are the big ones that you always hear about. Those are the bread and butter of hypnosis. But I have had my sister come in because I taught at DMAC, and she would do hypnosis with my students before exams. And what that would do is it would help, through the hypnosis, it would help them relax and take nice deep breaths, which brings down their blood pressure, their heart rate, their cortisol levels, which is part of anxiety. And she would put the suggestion in there that when they got ready to start their exam, the information that they had learned would come back to them, and it would be clear and sharp. Just like they'd opened a file cabinet and pulled out the information. And they would always report back to her afterwards how the exam went. And those people that usually had such huge test anxiety would report that, you know, it went much better. And on average, their grades were always better because it helps to knock down that anxiety. So that was one way. I had a person that I helped last week that he had a lot of pain from an infected tooth. He couldn't get back into the doctor until the next day, and so he was in so much pain, I finally just asked him if he would allow me to hypnotize him. You always have to ask them if they would allow it, because if you don't ask them, then the conscious brain is going to reject it. So there has to be some basis of trust. So anyway, I put him under, I use progressive relaxation. I do it slowly. Scott likes to do rapid inductions, but I put him under, and we worked on imaging the pain and making it smaller, condensing it down into a small ball that got smaller and smaller. And also using the idea that there was a knob out there that he could turn and dial down the pain to make it bearable so that he could deal with it. And, you know, then I gradually brought him back up. When I brought him up, he just looked at me and he was like, oh my goodness, that feels so much better. It was still there because I didn't take it away. I didn't want to take it all away because he did have something going on. I was just trying to give him a little bit of time to get into the doctor the next day.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about hypnotism with Kim and Scott Malloy.
But does that then start some kind of a biological feedback where you use the mind? And
yes.
Then let's say that I have an injured knee. Okay, you know my question.
Yes.
That you'll impact the mind, but then that'll help heal the knee? Or?
Yes. Dr. Morella in New Zealand, who was at our conference, her big practice is helping people with conditions. And she does the same thing. There's such a strong mind-body connection that sometimes a lot of different diseases that people come in are a result of something that happened when they were younger and the way their body or their mind thinks about it. And if you take them down and you take them into that subconscious relaxation and you talk to the subconscious brain and you help them reframe maybe an event in their life, or you do this positive visualization. And this is why I say nurses have been doing it for years. When you do guided imagery, if you look at research, a lot of nurses do that, and it's basically hypnosis. It's like with my knee that hurts, I visualize that I have a little construction company in there working on rebuilding cartilage and then moving out the inflammation that's in there. And so every time I get in the car, I have a post-it note that says knee, and so I think about that, and I'm giving myself a sort of a positive reinforcement, and it's because, you know, as your mind thinks about it, it actually causes an effect in your body. And it can be a positive effect or it can be a negative one. And so a lot of times with hypnosis, you're trying to reframe it so it's a positive. It's about getting out of that rut of thinking negatively, oh, it hurts so much, instead of thinking, oh, it's getting better, it's rebuilding cartilage, it's less painful, or it feels better. And in fact, it has been feeling better. So there is a very strong mind-body relationship.
Yeah, so the idea of hypnosis is generally to try and leverage so many of these things that are running in the background of our brain all the time. If you think about our brain, you know, it keeps our heart beating. It changes our response to pain. If you imagine you walk in someplace and it smells awful, you know, after 5-6 minutes, your brain starts ignoring it. Not because that smell is left, but because, you know, your brain understands that that's no longer important sensory information. And things like this, like remembering things, forgetting things, are going on all the time. It's just not a conscious decision that you're making. So the idea of hypnosis is to leverage all these same processes that your brain goes through, whether that's changing how much of that pain to pay attention to, or, you know, whether it's time to go to sleep or time to heal this part of your body. It's trying to put those suggestions in there that all these processes that are running in the back of your mind all the time to more focus on those goals.
So do you think that one of you could hypnotize me for the radio?
Only if you want to be hypnotized.
Well, I think it would be an interesting thing to try. I've never tried it before.
Okay.
Thanks to Kim and Scott Malloy for contributing to the program. Tomorrow in In-Depth, I Get Hypnotized. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in-depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.